Talks Experimental.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning.
Okay, so shall we start?
Let's do it.
All right. Welcome to TJ Talks. I'm Jed.
And I'm Teresa.
Okay, we are here, ready to podcast. And I know it's been a little while before we're packing them in, so then you'll have more coming up really quick. One right after the other.
Right after the other. Right now, this is a gold medal podcast, right?
It is. We have some cool things to talk about tonight, don't we?
Absolutely. We always do.
Well, what are we going to talk about tonight? I know
we were going to discuss the science of astrology and how accurate horoscopes are and can be.
Yeah.
And then you were going to regale us with some Bible stories.
Oh, yeah. Bible study. Bible study here on TJ Talks. Yeah.
Which totally negates any science talk we were ever going to have, because the Bible just negates all of that, right?
Right.
And then you were going to tease me about Fitbit, because my Fitbit bet with you isn't going well yet.
Yes.
And I am destined to wear that damn Minnie Mouse costume at this rate. So I'm trying desperately not to do that. But, dessert. It's too hard.
I know.
And we should talk about your birthday.
Yes.
You celebrated a birthday last week. Happy birthday. 29, right?
Yeah, 29.
Yeah.
Every year.
Me too.
Do you know where the 29 came from?
No.
That was Jack Benny. That was a running gag on the Jack Benny show that Jack Benny always said, I'm 29. And so that's where that's come from. A lot of people don't know that. They don't even know who Jack Benny is.
I was going to say, we're dating ourselves by even talking about Jack Benny and his good pal Rochester and all the other things that, you know, are associated with.
Yeah. Rochester. Get my car.
So what did you do for your birthday?
I went to Disney. Woohoo! Yeah, I went to Typhoon Lagoon. I used my annual pass and went from there. Went to Wolfgang Puck's for lunch, and then I went to Hollywood Studios, and then I went to Epcot Center, and then I went home and had some drinks.
So, nice. Well, I hope you had a nice birthday.
Yeah. And then, of course, it went through the whole weekend and got to celebrate with the running crew, my friends in the running group. So that was
nice.
Great. Yeah.
Did they chase you and then give you 47 spankings?
Oh, that was a whole nother group of people that gave me my 47 spankings. I can't even go there.
How did that ever come to be a thing? What was it about getting spanked on your birthday? Is it just in reference to when you are birthed, you get spanked by the doctor so that you cry? Is there something about that?
That's a good question. I don't know why getting spanked. And then, of course,
if anybody knows the answer.
Right. Snopes.
Yeah, we could Snopes it. Yeah. All right, so you're a Leo, right?
I am a Leo, and I share my birthday with a few famous people. One particular one won't have a beer with me, President Obama.
You have the same birthday as Obama.
Can you believe it?
Thanks, Obama.
I know.
How old is he?
He's like 55 or 54.
I didn't know he was that old. Okay, all right.
I mean, he's not like crazy older than me, but he's not like, you know, he's not 70.
You're close enough in age.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you'd have made better decisions in life, you could have been president.
Yeah, I'll never get to be. I have about as much chance as Bernie Sanders at this point.
Oh, still breaks my heart.
I know.
Still breaks my heart.
It ain't over yet.
Oh. Yeah, that's true. Nothing's done until no fat lady has sung yet.
Right. I don't want to get too political here tonight, because there's definitely lots more. We could have politics talk every night on this podcast.
So what are some of the characteristics of being a Leo?
They are flamboyant. They are extroverts. They are, man, what else are we? We are...
supposedly, you're warm, action-oriented, and driven by the desire to be loved and admired.
Yes.
The Leo, you have an air of royalty about you. They love to be in the limelight, which is why many of them make careers in the performing arts.
Yes. Rawr. I was posting all sorts of Leo pictures of my emoticon has been the lion this entire month, last week.
And do you really identify with your sign? I'm going to be quirky and say that I kind of do with mine.
Okay, so I have a theory about this. I think that we read about what our sign is about. We're very focused on learning about what we're supposed to be. And so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that if you know you're supposed to be a certain way, then you start to engage in those behaviors.
Huh. That we're programming ourselves this way.
Yeah.
All right. You probably are right. Although I'll say for my kids, especially my Taurus kid, no one ever told him to act like a Taurus. He just has always acted like a Taurus, and he's stubborn and bullheaded as they come. So in my objective view of him, I never ingrained in him what a Taurus was or could be or should be. And he seems to exhibit all of those characteristics without anyone having put that into him.
It's uncanny though, isn't it? I'm sure that all these other celebrities, and you go back in time, they weren't as focused on astrology as maybe we have been in the last 20, 30 years.
Oh, absolutely. Well, because Nancy Reagan, right? Didn't she consult an astrologer and it was a big deal in the White House?
Yeah.
Remember that? Okay, so here is a good pickup line at a bar.
All right.
And maybe I shouldn't be saying this. But when you're chatting it up with somebody and they and you ask them, because you should ask people what their sign is, A, it's fun. B, everybody has one. You know, it's a good interactive conversation thing. And they say, oh, I'm a Capricorn. My birthday's in January or whatever. Then you just look at them and go, oh, that explains it. And then they want to know what you think, right? And even if you don't know anything about what their sign is, just give them the, oh, that explains everything about you now. And then that piques their curiosity and they want to know what you think about them.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. I'm going to use that. I'm going out after this podcast to try it out. No.
I've done it. Many times, yes, that's me. And say, oh, you're an Aquarius. Oh, that explains it. Do you remember being a kid and getting the paper, the newspaper, every day to your home, right? And you would read the Anlanders, and you'd read the comics, and you'd read the horoscope.
Absolutely,
and it was just something we did every day. I see my horoscope every now and again, or sometimes it'll come up on a Facebook thing or whatever, but. It's not like that daily input that we would get from the newspaper and our horoscope or our sign.
Well, I have to tell you, I had on my Twitter for a long time. Every day I would let my horoscope pop up on my Twitter feed.
And oh, okay.
So then somebody called me out on it. And
okay. Why?
And I took it off because I very much respect that person. And...
why would they call you out on it? What was wrong about it?
I think because it's junky. It's science. It's not science, and it's just filler. Like, if I want to read it myself. Why do I need to broadcast it?
Okay, fair enough. I would never care if somebody was broadcasting it, right? I probably wouldn't read it anyway if it's not my sign. If I shared that sign with you, I would be excited to see it because then you've done the work for me, and I just get to. Reap the benefits of it.
And that person also has my sign, so it was, you know, it was okay. But I wasn't mad. I was like, okay, I respect that perspective. And so moving on. But you know, it's funny because I was thinking about what we were talking about, personalities based on signs. And I kind of think of myself as an extrovert, whereas other people I see that have my same sign, and you've explained what a Leo is. They seem very introverted to me. So I'm like, is there something to all this or nothing to all this?
Well, it goes back to the ultimate nature versus nurture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the astrological community, you know, the the getaway from all of this is that anybody who does astrology or horoscopes or numerology or anyone who's psychic will say to you, you know, it could be this way, the way they state it, extroverted, super animated person, or you could be completely 180 the opposite, which negates any value that it might actually have, because all they're doing is discrediting what your sign could be. It's the way out, right? With an intellectual responsibility is met by saying, well, it could be this way or it could be that way. I think that's why things get changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I mean, I guess I feel like I'm just so, like, put myself out there, and I look at other people, friends, and I go, well, how come they're not like me? Like, they're not Leos like me. I'm, like, crazy guy. All my Leo friends are so reserved.
Maybe you're just the most extroverted, and maybe they're still extroverts, but not compared to you.
Well, that's probably true. But then, you know, I guess I look at the Myers-Briggs situation, which I think there's a relationship between Myers-Briggs and personalities and astrology. I would love to know if we could have a large-scale study of birthdays to Myers-Briggs personality types. I'd be very curious to see if a majority of Leos tend to be a specific way, and a majority of, you know, Tauruses and Scorpios and Libras all are, you know, very specifically aligned within the Myers-Briggs.
I'm sure somebody has done that somewhere. There's got to be some data on that. It wouldn't be a hard algorithm to create, right?
No, I mean, the data's there. All you got to do is somehow buy it from one of those online testing people. They've got it.
Here's what I don't understand. My birthday is in October, and supposedly October is the month of the year that has the most birthdays. So do the math backwards, and it's New Year's Eve. People are getting it on, and 10 months later, because pregnancy is not 9 months, it's, you know, 40 weeks, 10 months. Uh-huh. That's why everyone's born in October. But I don't know that many other Libras. I mean, I know a few, but for supposedly the most popular birth month, it doesn't feel like I know that many Libras. And I would agree with you that the other Libras that I know are not as dedicated to being Libras like I am. I feel like I'm kind of dedicated to my fair and balanced Libra assessments.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which made me such a good juror on jury duty, because I have the scales of justice inherently in my soul.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Maybe it's just our nature. I don't know.
I think so. But I think I have nurtured my own nature, much to your point earlier, that I understand that about Libras, so I probably internalize that.
Yeah.
But I still give credibility to the fact that some people just have those traits because they've never known to internalize them, and they still exhibit them.
Now, I will say this. I do not believe anything about, like, how your day is going to be or your magic number or any of that stuff. I have none of that stuff plays. But personality-wise, I don't know why it seems like that they seem to have nailed that. And I don't know what it is.
I should get your numbers and have my mother-in-law do your numerology. And your numerology can be kind of interesting to read. And it's specific to your date of birth, the time of birth, and the way your name is spelt on your birth certificate. Wow. And all of that gives you, you know, a life lesson number. And then every year you're in a different cycle of your life lessons. And karmically, you know, if you've got to work your way from 1 to 10. And if you're only on 7, you got 3 more rotations before you're going to be to the next universe or whatever. It's interesting.
I'll tell you what. And you know what? My name was not the original name on my birth certificate. It got changed.
I found this out recently,
yes.
How did that happen?
Because there was a grandmother who said, not just no, but fuck no.
Wow. Your original name got poo-pooed, and then you got named Judd.
Well, no, it was always Judd. It was always Judd. Okay. It was the middle name.
Oh, yeah. I don't know your middle name, Judd. Judd something Spitzer. Uh-huh. It's an L, isn't it?
It is.
Is it Lloyd?
No, that's my brother's name is Lloyd.
Oh, okay. Well, then I don't know your middle name. What is your middle name?
Lee.
Really? Judd Lee. And what was the one that it got changed from?
Maurice.
Oh, what was wrong with Maurice?
Because it was named after some other person, and they didn't like who that person was, and there was a big fight. And so before the birth certificate, the ink was even dry on the birth certificate, because you have a few days to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what happened was my dad had to go and, you know, get that changed. So.
Interesting. Well, that explains it.
Yeah, I know. I'm very, like, I'm two people.
I was going to say, you've got a little bit of Maurice still in you.
I've never used that for anything. I just found, I mean, I knew about it when I was, my mommy would say, oh yeah, we were going to name you Maurice. That's all I had heard. But then I heard the latest incarnation of the story, which was, the fact it was, I think, last time I was out in California, which was, we weren't just going to name you. You were named that.
Wow. Like,
wow. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is kind of funny. I like that. I love hearing things that, you know, you know the story of your birth, right? Your parents share this with right. you, or you hear it over family occasions. And then to learn something completely new, that's always right. interesting. That sheds new light on things.
I know. And my dad liked Lee because he felt that it was so generic and that I could use it as my first name if I wanted instead of my, you know, my given first name.
What is up with our parents doing that? And I did it to my kids. I, you know, my mother named me Teresa so that people would call me Terry. No one ever has, not even she has. I named my son Johannes. He goes by Hans. But, you know, we give these giant names to kids and expect them to change. I don't know. I don't know why we do that.
Well, no, he thought that if I was somewhere in, like, here in the South, that I could go by Lee, which uh-huh. was a very Southern sounding name.
Absolutely, it sounds Southern.
Or if I was in China, I could go by Lee, too.
Exactly.
Mr. Lee.
Well, all right. Mr. Lee. Well, you have definitely, and now you're a Leo, so.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and you exhibit all those traits, just like President Obama.
Yeah.
All right, so what was the Bible story you were going to regale me with? Because you know I don't know anything about the Bible.
You know, I'm going to go with this Bible story that I had told somebody else because it's a good starting point. And then we'll get some feedback if people like this Bible story business or if I should, you know, if we should make this a regular thing. So
okay.
My favorite Bible story happens to be the story of Jonah. And so Jonah is kind of an interesting character of the Bible because he's a prophet, right? And the whole deal for me is I feel a little bit kinship here because I feel like me and him were kind of from the same cloth. This whole okay. philosophy that here's this guy and he gets the calling from God. And I don't know, maybe when I was younger, I felt like I was getting the calling.
Okay.
But instead, I did something crazy. I joined the Navy. And you know what? And Jonah said pretty much, you know, go fuck yourself. I ain't going on your call.
Okay.
Because God had this deal. There's this city. He told Jonah, he said, go off to the city of Nineveh, and I want you to tell the king that they've been sinning, and they've got, you know, a few days to turn around their ways, repent, or I'm destroying the town. It's a done deal, you know? And tell him I said so. So Jonah like kicks ass and, or, you know, peels out of there and he goes off to the city and gets on a sailing ship and he's like, I'm out of here. I am getting away. I am not doing this bullshit because you know what? Those people ain't going to listen to me anyways. He was like, fuck them. You know what? They made their bed. Okay. Let them lie in it. So he's off on this boat. And then God's like, you know what? You don't get the fuck away from me that fast. So God puts a big sea, makes it all real horrible. You know, this whole ship is going to like completely fall apart. And the guys on board, they're like, what the hell's going on? Everybody pray to your God, stop the sea. And Jonah's down in the bottom of the boat. And he's like, yep, this is me. He goes and finally says, you know what, just throw me overboard and the sea will stop. And the guys are like, no, it's okay. We'll just keep rowing until we get to shore. But doesn't stop. So they finally say, all right, fine. And they throw Jonah overboard and like instantly the sea completely is calm.
Right.
And God sends a big fish to swallow Jonah, which is basically a submarine. So that was just like me. I was down in the belly of the submarine for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And Jonah was like, damn it. Is this how it ends? And Jonah prays to God, like, okay, I'll fucking do it. I'll do whatever you ask. And, you know, I would have done just about anything to get off that submarine. I mean, there is a parallelism here. No one wants to be on a surface ship because the surface sucks. And then you go to a submarine and you think, oh, this is going to be way better because the food's better.
Okay.
But believe me, I don't care how much brine that fish is eating. It wasn't a whale. I promise you it wasn't a whale. But, you know, so God's like, okay, fine. And I'll spit him back up. And the fish spits Jonah back up on the shore. And Jonah's told once again, get your ass to that city. And I want you to tell him, repent. And Jonah's like, all right, I'll do it. So promise is a promise. He goes off to the city and he walks through and he says, hey, repent your ways. You got 3 days. I think it was 3 days. Or God is going to destroy this city. You guys are done. And Jonah really thought that no one's going to listen to me. You know, they want a party like it's 1999. And not the case. The king, he turns around and has the whole city proclamation. Everybody had to stop work for 3 days. No one could eat or drink or whatever it was. They basically, it was like water only. And they prayed for forgiveness. Even the king took off his robes and put on sackcloth and begged forgiveness. And Jonah goes out to the edge of the city and he sits there and he looks out at the city. And he's like, yeah, can't believe it. They repented and God's saving the city. And so God created this little plant to grow up and provide some shade for Jonah. And Jonah's like, wow, this is really nice. And that evening, God sent a little creature, worm, and ate the plant. And Jonah was sad and said to God, you know, just let me die. Just let me die. And God says to Jonah, he goes, you know, you didn't give a shit at all about those people, those thousands of people in that city. You didn't care one bit, but you cared about that plant that you didn't do anything for. You had no relationship to this plant. It provided you shade and then it died. And you feel sorry for it, but you don't feel sorry for your fellow man. What the fuck's up with that? You know? And the way that God said is that, you know, I should feel responsible for those people too, because they're my creatures, just like you feel responsible for something that isn't, you know, that you didn't have anything to do with, but you still feel, you know, sorry for these people, for this plant.
Sure.
So anyways, and that's how the story ends, is Jonah is just kind of hanging out there in the desert with no shade. And we don't really know what happened to him. It'd be a great after story though, I think.
I was going to say, this could be one of those things like, you know, they do the Wicked was the prequel to Wizard of Oz or the parallel story. You could write the Jonah after story.
Wouldn't it be interesting if he had to go to another place to go, like, stop another city?
Well, that's what I want to know. How many chances was God going to give him, right? Like, maybe he would get it right the next time, the first time.
Right. But even Jonah got a chance, right? He escapes. God doesn't like just kill him. He's like, you know what? I'm getting you back. I want you to fucking do what I asked you to do. You don't get to run away. You know, it's like a parent, right? You know, the kid fucks up and the parent doesn't go, okay, I write your ass off. The parent goes, you know what? You're going to do this until you get it right.
Until you get it right.
Yeah.
Good parents do that anyway.
Right. They kick your ass too along the way. They don't make it easy. And then you do it and hopefully you get some satisfaction and you learn from that whole process. And did Jonah learn? I don't know. I think that, you know, cause they tell the story every year for the holiday, Jewish holiday, Yom Kippur, which is Day of Atonement. And so people are not really focused on Jonah. They're focused on the story of the city and the fact that, you know, even in the worst case scenario, if you repent, God will forgive. And in my case, I'm focused on Jonah, who's, you know, an idiot who just runs away from his problems, you know, and still he's the one who gets forgiven from God for all of his stiff-necked bullshit. It's like, come on, dude. You know, someone, the Almighty calls you out and says, hey, I got a job for you. And you're like, I don't think so. So
I think the Bible stories colored with all the profanity make them relatable to people of our generation.
So did I do a good job?
I think so. I think okay. This is not the King James version. It's the King Bleep version. And now you've got yourself a new, you could narrate these things. Get it out okay. on Audible.
Okay. Well, I need to work on our next one. So maybe we'll start with Genesis here. Genesis. Give me
Let
Genesis,
there be fucking
Kirk.
Light.
I know.
All right. Well, does that wrap it up for us today?
Let's see. So, oh, no. We have one last little thing, and we'll be done. Okay.
Oh,
so, Minnie Mouse, we got to talk about some Fitbit challenging.
Wah, wah, all right. Wah. So, I think I'm down 2 pounds from when I needed to, you know, the last time I texted you my weight, and I'm still woefully 8 pounds from where I need to be. So I'm getting there. I still
eight
have
pounds.
Until October 6th, right?
Oh, 8 pounds from where you need to be? That's
yeah.
that's doable. That's very
that's
doable.
That's doable, right? Yeah. yeah, I think yeah. I feel, all right. So
that's
I'll get
bad.
There eventually.
It's too bad. I have this beautiful outfit just waiting to be had.
Yeah, the Minnie Mouse midriff costume is
yeah.
not going to happen.
Garter belt?
No.
No, with polka dotted stockings and mini skirt.
Oh, no. I think I'd rather run nude than run in that.
Really? Wow.
I'll just, you know, apply more glide or whatever.
What do you call it? Some sort of Minnie Mouse looking top there with just a jogging bra thing going
That's
on.
That's it. That's yeah. it.
And
a big bow in my hair.
Yeah, with the ears, you know, yeah. one of those, what do they call that? Where you stick that thing over your head?
Yeah, just that headband thing. Yeah.
Headband. Yeah, headband yeah. with the ears. And yep, absolutely.
So ultimately, I want this to be done and put uh-huh. to bed so I don't have to think about it anymore. But it is good and it's keeping me stepping and keeping me moving. Now, I got to get more on my training schedule in general for the distance because I'm not really there. But I just have to give it up for Fitbit because it's made me walk at least 3 miles a day, 90% of all days. There was 1 or 2 days last week I didn't do it. I was on an airplane for half the day.
Yeah.
And the other one, I came close. I think it was like 8,500 steps. So, I mean, I get my 10,000 steps in 90% of the time now because of all you people and these challenges. It really makes me move.
Yeah, and it does for me too because on the Fitbit, in fact, today I was walking. I did a walk instead of a run today for my uh-huh. beer run day. And what was interesting is I wasn't going to do it. It rained. It stormed here in Florida, and it just cleared up like crazy. And so I said, "All right, I'll walk." I was in jeans and I had flip flops, and we walked 3 miles. And
oh wow,
yeah. And so I'm halfway through my walk, and I'm like, I'm going on Fitbit. I got to see where I'm at. And I was like ahead of everybody. And I was like, fuck yeah, in your face, baby.
Yeah, it's fun to sync up and see that you're ahead or not too far behind from somebody who's doing really, really well. And, you know, I don't know if I shared on the podcast, I got an Apple Watch, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Apple Watch does everything Fitbit does, counts your steps, your activity, your calories, etc. But it doesn't load up to the Fitbit site. You need a Fitbit device. So I had to get a Fitbit to wear on the other wrist so I could, you know, I love the Apple Watch for all the things that it does, but it doesn't talk to my Fitbit friends. And I'm so compelled to keep doing this. And if Apple had its own, you know,
social
challenges or that kind of thing, yeah, social aspect, then I probably would ditch one, but they don't. So I need this peer pressure and I'm wearing the Fitbit all the time. And it looks kind of silly to have two essential giant pieces of, you know, jewelry on your arms. But I like it. I really need the accountability that the Fitbit provides.
Do you know if they had social for the Apple Watch, I would go straight tomorrow and go buy an Apple Watch.
I know. It's a great device. I can't say enough about it. I truly love it.
I mean, that's what I want. I want social. I mean, I don't know if there, I mean, I know there's Runkeeper and stuff, but I think that Fitbit has just done such a great job of integrating it, the whole thing. And there's no reason that Apple shouldn't do the same thing. They should just say, you know what? Fuck it. Screw you, Fitbit. You don't want to play games with our system.
Well, they could make it a subscription thing, right? Say, look, we will feed your Apple steps to Fitbit for a subscription fee or something. Make it, you know, so you wouldn't have to wear the second device. That way Fitbit makes money, Apple can make money, and we all get to keep our friends and our challenges. But they have yet to do that.
A buck a month.
Yeah, something simple.
You know, 99 cents a month subscription you could do, in-app subscription, and they'd be great, right?
Charge me by the step. I don't care.
Right.
So, yes. So keep on stepping. And when I know that you're out there stepping, I'm more inclined to get off my tush and go step myself.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I always have more Pokemon to catch.
Are you still doing the Pokemon thing?
Of course.
Really? How many Pokemonsters do you have?
I think I have like 67.
Wow. And I think there's like 100 Pokemonsters.
I don't know. I just push the button on the phone. It's fun.
Really? I haven't done it yet. I'm thinking I might.
Too late now. The bandwagon's already left the building.
Really?
I think it's old news.
I'm waiting for Disney to come up with the Hidden Mickeys game, which will be the same thing, but all Hidden Mickeys.
Exactly. They'll do that, I'm sure. They better
something
be doing
like
that.
I mean, isn't that what they should do? Like something like that? Like
they need to have something for when you're in the park. I mean, it would just be fun.
It would be. I mean, although they could do it everywhere the same, you know. I don't know how that would work everywhere, but that park would be for sure extra special. Yeah.
Right.
So, anyways, we had some pretty good conversation today. We talked about everything. We talked about birthdays and astrology and a little Bible study and Fitbit talk and just a little bit of everything.
That hot Fitbit talk. I mean, come on.
I'm telling you, I'm going to, you know, for my next trick for you will be some superimposing of some photos of your face on some Minnie Mouse costume stuff.
It'll be great because it's really good motivation for me whenever you send me that stuff to go, oh God, I do not want to be doing this. So I do enjoy it. It's good. It's the carrot on the end of the stick.
Absolutely. All right. Well, for TJ Talks, I am Jed.
And I'm Teresa.
And we will talk to you soon. I know.
Talk to you later.